Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, talking to Krishna. And today we're doing our best trade proposal. So this is not, I know a lot of the times we do a trade reaction podcast. These trades have not happened, but the trade deadline's like about a week away. And these are some of the trade proposals we would like to see. I know I did an episode last year about my love-hate relationship with fake trades, but when you're doing three podcasts a week, every week of the year, you just sometimes got to do it. Krishna, how are you doing today? And have you been cooking up some interesting trades in the old trade machine?
Yep, I'm doing well. I've got some interesting trades ready to go.
What the person that put together? So there's the NBA trade machine on ESPN, right? And then there is also a trade machine on Fanspo. Okay, Krishna, you would know a little bit more about this than me. It seems like it would take a tremendous amount of time to make that application.
Yeah, I would imagine. I honestly, I don't even know where to start. You'd have to also be very familiar with like
the rules.
Very familiar with the rules, yeah. And one of the great things about the Fanspo app is they include like picks and stuff like that. So, like that's really cool too. Like the ESPN version doesn't have that.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I always just use the Fanspo one. Well, just shout out to anyone that's ever worked on a trade machine app and Fanspo, I guess, for having a very good one. All right, Krishna, let's go. First, what is your trade proposal that needs to happen?
Okay, I'm going to start out, I guess I'll start out small. And I don't know if this one's like really tiny, but
microscopic.
Microscopic. And actually, let me just make sure this works in the trade machine. But
wait, you didn't test these in the trade machine?
No. Well, no, I don't know if I have to add another player to this one. So the trade I was thinking about, and I was discussing this a bit on Twitter with like a few Sixers fans, was Jaden Springer and the Hornets second round pick for Vanderbilt.
I don't know who Jaden Springer is.
he's a first round pick. He was a first round pick from the Sixers a few years ago. He's like, look, he's. If you don't know who he is and he's played on the Sixers, so you can probably gather that he's barely played in his NBA career.
All right.
But he's still super young. I think he's like 20 years old or something like that. So like he's kind of he would fall under one of those like, OK, you know what? Maybe there's something here. Players like
a change of scenery player. They call it in baseball.
I don't even so much know if it's so much that because he just doesn't. Like it's more so that like he's not going to play on a team that's trying to win the championship, right? So he's okay. You know what? I just realized I have to add a little more salary into the Jazz portion of this trade. So so let's add in. So if I think if I add in House, that would do. Danilo House on the Sixers. I think that would get me to. Yes, that works. That was the only thing.
Wait,
I was
hold on.
Sure
you're
about.
Trying to get Jared Vanderbilt from the Utah Jazz, a defensive. You're trying to get another defensive specialist on the Sixers. They have like three already.
So the reason I thought this would help, you're saying with Tucker, and so the Sixers need a backup center to me that can play like. That's not Montrezl Harrell.
They can play defense.
Yeah, that can play defense. That can hold up in the playoffs. And I actually think, like, ideally you want somebody who can play with Embiid. Like, you want a backup center who can play in the non-Embiid minutes and can play with Embiid, too, ideally. Because, like it's always better to have, like, players that can play with your best players, right? Even if they're bench players. Like, you don't want – like, it's like, you don't want to necessarily get a guy like Drummond has been somebody the Sixers had last year, right? And that would be a that would make some sense too, right? Like a backup big who's maybe bigger and has like more traditional big man skills, but like you'd be playing him 10 minutes a game at most. And honestly, I think with like the Sixers, you wouldn't mind having like PJ Tucker at the five, right? And so you could play Vanderbilt at the four, so he could play in a lineup like that. Or you could have Vanderbilt, like he might even be able to play with Embiid. He can't shoot, obviously, so that's kind of like it hurts your spacing a bit. But if he's like your only guy who can't shoot, because we know Embiid can, I think that can work playing with him with Embiid. And to me, the reason I like that trade for the Sixers, they need like secondary rim protection to me. Like if you look at the rest of their team, they don't have anybody else who can really rim protect. So getting another guy like that would help. And for the Jazz, they get Jaden Springer, who's like, I think he's like, let me check the age here. But I want to say he's like 20 years old or something like that, right? So he's just kind of a look at a guy who, yeah, he's 20 years old. He's a look at a potential prospect who could turn into something for the Jazz. And, you know, I think like it's, pretty clear, like despite the Jazz kind of being in the play-in area, from what's kind of been reported, it sounds like they're going to be sellers, especially because I think now, like where they were a few months ago, where they're like third in the
they're
West.
Running out of, they're starting to run out of gas a little bit.
Yeah. Like if you're in 10th place and you're the Jazz, it just makes sense to be sellers because you kind of wanted to do that at the start anyways. And this team's not good enough to actually win a playoff series. So, and the Jazz also get the Hornets second round pick. And we were discussing this off air where, like, what is the value of a second rounder? Well, to me, like, I think this would be enough for the Jazz because the Hornets second rounder is basically going to be, like a late first, like almost the equivalent of a late first.
Cause it's probably
right?
gonna be a top five pick in the second round.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's say like, the Sixers have like the 26th pick. Maybe it wouldn't be that. Maybe it'd be like the 24th pick. Right? It's like another, it's another like 10, 15, it's another like 15 slots down.
Yeah, it's like 10 slots down, right? Like 30, 34, 35 or somewhere around there.
Yeah. It depends on like where the Sixers fall, I'm trying to figure out, and like where the Hornets, I guess the Hornets will probably have a top five pick. And the Sixers
actually,
will be somewhere in the 20s.
So this is a dumb question, but like if you fall in the lottery, like if you're the Hornets and the second round just goes based on record, right?
I don't know. Talking to the wrong guy.
I assume the second round goes based on record, in which case the Hornets pick could be like 31 or something like that. So it could be like, you know, because they might actually have the worst record in the NBA, right?
Okay, so state the trade in its entirety again.
So the trade in its entirety is House, Springer, and a Hornets second-round pick for Vanderbilt.
So basically, it's salary and, you know, a young guy where, you know, you see what you get. A second-round pick, but a very, very high second-round pick for Jared Vanderbilt, who's like a defensive specialist who can rebound well.
Yeah. And the other one I had was, and this is related. I'm just kind of pairing this with the, with this trade because it's a similar type of trade trying to get, you know, essentially a similar type of player on the Sixers, would be for Rocco instead. Now Rocco's making a little more, So I believe we would it would have to be like House, Korkmaz, and Springer for Roko. And again, same idea where
it's that Charlotte second rounder, same thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, although, I don't think I'm giving up Robert Covington for a second round pick.
Yeah, see, I don't know if the Clippers would do this because, well, you know what's, so I think if the Clippers were doing this in a vacuum, you're saying you wouldn't even do, well, see, okay, this is something a trade that the Jazz might do if they were in the Clippers spot, but the Clippers aren't going to do this because they're trying to win now, right?
Yeah, it doesn't help the Clippers in any way.
Yeah, it doesn't help the Clippers in any way. So I think this is probably somewhere where you have to like reroute those like three picks or those three guys and like the Hornets second rounder to a third team, and then they give up something to the Clippers. I did not think of that part yet. So
all right. So all okay, so the first one is interesting. It's that second round pick with that is Charlotte's that the Sixers own that is going for Vanderbilt. All right. I'm gonna give you one of mine. So Bones Highland has been rumored to be on the trade block with Denver, and he is, in my estimation, I think he is going to fit into that Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, instant offense, like one of the best six men in the league. But the problem is the value in his scoring most of the time is like he can score. He has a microwave element to his game. He's a good shooter, and he has some playmaking. So I think it makes the most sense to use him in that six-man role. However, has been pretty bad at defense, and like all of those guys are like on the smaller side. So Bones Highland is an interesting player because he's young and he has potential where we don't know what he's going to be yet. He's had pretty good offensive impact numbers in his first year and a half, but Denver's going to trade him. Denver's going to want, obviously, a player that can contribute now because they're trying to win the championship. They can hang on to Bones, and he is, you know, their spark off the bench in the playoffs. Last year in the playoffs, I remember he hit three threes in a row, and that has been burned into my memory. So he can get real hot in a hurry. But I like this trade. So the idea is Denver sends Bones Highland to the Bulls, who I think are about to go into a rebuild. It's unclear what the Bulls are doing. But with Lonzo Ball being hurt, they say he still has pain in his leg. That's not good. DeRozan isn't exactly young. I know Vooch's contract is coming up at the end of the year, and they've just sort of been in just the middle of the league. But the idea is the trade is Denver sends Bones Highland to the Bulls, and Denver gets Alex Caruso back in return. Because Caruso, apparently the Bulls want two first-round picks. That's probably not going to happen. But I think just a player for player with no picks involved, it makes sense for Denver. Denver gets another defensive player because we've talked about this a fair amount on the podcast where obviously we know Joker isn't an amazing defensive center. But the last 2 years, he's been fine. You're going to need to surround him with very, very good perimeter defenders. And, you know, they went out, they got Bruce Brown, they got KCP. Those were two really good pickups, two like solid to good defenders. You get Alex Caruso, who is the best perimeter defender in the league and has been for a number of years. The thing is, he's not a shooter, but he is a good ball mover, can ball handle a little bit, but a solid passer and can cut well. You don't need the three-point shooting on Denver because that's something that they have in spades. And I really like the idea of Denver going into the playoffs with Jamal Murray, Alex Caruso, KCP, and Bruce Brown as their, you know, four guards. You know, in the rotation, one of them can maybe play the three if they play a little bit smaller. And I think that would be a really threatening playoff roster. And then the Bulls get a player that's only in his second year that has shown he can really score a lot. You put him, those players always perform on you know, teams more towards the middle of the league. They perform better. And then you kind of just take the reins off and just see what Bones' ceiling is, because I think he's probably going to be a version of that like scoring player. But there were some years where like Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams were giving like legit, and Jordan Clarkson even, like legit offensive impact. So, you know, I don't know what Bones is, but he's very interesting. What do you think about the trade?
First of all, I'm kind of surprised the trade worked.
Yeah, it works salary wise.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah, I actually have an interesting addition to that trade. So can I add on to your trade?
Sure.
So the only thing I was going to add on, and I don't know why the Bulls would want to do this, but like it would be adding in like Drummond for DeAndre. just to get the Nuggets a real backup center. Now, I don't know why the Bulls would want Drummond, DeAndre. Maybe you throw in a pick or something like that. You know, maybe the Nuggets throw in a second round pick. The other thing I was wondering is this. So this is a really interesting question. So what is the value of Bones? Like, do you think so the Bulls want two first round picks, right? So do you think Bones is the equivalent to being able to get like two first round picks, or two first round picks, or do you think the Bulls could get more?
I think Bones is worth. See, this is why it's interesting, because I'm like, I would have a, I would say I'm one of the bigger fans of Alex Caruso probably in the world. I think he's a really good player. I think I'd be pretty hesitant to give up two first round picks for him. I don't think I would do that. But I think Bones is interesting because, so it's interesting how people think of picks, right? Because there is there's almost an element of if I have a pick, there is unlimited potential in the pick, right? Because you haven't selected a player yet. There's no limitations. There's not, you know, was this a strong or weak draft? Like yada, yada, yada. There's none of those details. There's just what can be. And what can be always trumps what is, like in most people's mind. However, like we know that most picks, especially the later you get in the draft, it's harder for those picks to really work out. So especially if you're Denver trading your picks, which I'm not sure how many they have right now, but in my mind, just in a vacuum, Bones is worth like 1.5 first round picks. Because we were talking about this on the podcast, before the podcast, where we wish there was something, because there's only really for draft capital, there's only first round picks and second round picks. However, when you're trying to make trades, a first round pick holds like quite a bit of value and the second round pick holds a little bit of value. I wish there was something in between. And I think Bones is actually a rare case where you're going to have him for 2 more years. So it's not like you're going to lose him. He's not expensive right now. He's on his rookie deal. He has some upside. I think he's one of the rare cases where he's worth like 1.5 first round picks, which I'm much more, the idea of that for Caruso is much better than 2 in my mind. And I also think this is realistic, where it's like if they are in fact, where these are just reports, they're just rumors, who knows? These could be a ball sack rumor. We don't even know. But the idea is Bones maybe isn't happy in Denver. So, you know, trading him, you know, might need to happen, or it might be on a more accelerated timeline than maybe a different, you know, different situation. But Alex Caruso is a very good player to get in return. So I think this trade actually makes sense for both teams. Like if you're the Bulls, you're like, Bones Highland has, you know, real upside. Like if you drafted a player that was Bones Highland with the first round pick you got with Caruso, I think you're pretty happy with that. And then if you're Denver, you get, you know, a really high end defensive player, because that's going to be valuable come playoff time.
Yeah. You know what? I don't disagree with anything you said. Actually, I think the only thing I might do, so just so you could do that Drummond DeAndre swap and to maybe add in, I guess, a little value for the Bulls, I might throw in a first round pick for the Nuggets. They do have like a 2029 first, which is dangerous, I guess, to give up. But just so you can get like maybe a real backup center for Jokic instead of having DeAndre. I think Drummond's still pretty good. Like he could certainly for like 10 minutes or whatever as a backup, I think he can kind of serve as a good backup. But yeah, I like the trade. I think the only thing I would say about the trade is it adds salary to the Nuggets, and that would raise their tax bill, and I honestly have no idea if they would be willing to do that.
But it's not a super significant amount of salary. I think Caruso's making like $9 million a year.
Yeah. But if they're over the tax, I think it adds a ton or something like that. Look, I would do it. And honestly, I don't care about the Nuggets owner. So you should go and do it.
All right. So that trade was recapping. It was Denver gets Alex Caruso. The Bulls get Bones Highland. What do you got for your next trade proposal?
I got another small one, and then I'm going to finish up. So I have a small one, and then for the last one, I have like a big, big, huge one. Okay.
Nice tease.
So I'm going to start with a small one. It was basically Wiseman, their first round pick this year, which I think they have, and a 2027 second rounder for Jakob Poeltl.
Okay. So Wiseman. A first, a second for Joachim Poeltl, the center on the Spurs.
Yes. I actually don't know if so. Jakobs, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. The Spurs want 2 first-round picks for him. And as you mentioned earlier, like, to me, this isn't that dissimilar of a situation from Caruso, especially because he's expiring. Like, I would be stunned if he could get 2 firsts.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so, but I am adding in the second here because I think that might be the price of taking on Wiseman. Like, I don't think in theory, the Spurs shouldn't care about Wiseman because they're like, you know, they're trying to accumulate young
players.
They might
want to be playing Wiseman for their ultimate goal.
Well, let me, you said it, not me. You did not, I did not call Wiseman a tank commander, but you implied it. But yes, yeah, that would help a bit for the tank. And like, so I'm essentially kind of looking at like the second rounder is like in between 2 firsts. And also, so basically what I'm saying is Wiseman plus the second rounder is equivalent to a little less than a second first. Because I think we agree that they're not going to get 2 firsts for Poeltl, right?
No.
But they probably could get a little more than 1 first. So this is kind of somewhere in between where you get like a second rounder and Wiseman. And I honestly don't know. I have no idea what Wiseman's trade value is. At best, I would say it's just like nothing. At worst, I'd say he's like a negative value contract.
I would argue that his contract is actually a trade asset. Because in the NBA, making the money work is so important. What's his cap number? Is like $9 million or something.
Yeah.
So you can like trade for real players. Because the problem if you're trying to trade guys that are only making like league minimum, it's hard to trade for other players because they make too much money.
Right, and I do think is he signed for 2 years?
I think he has. This is year 3, and then next year will be the last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah. So and then I mean you have to make a decision about paying him. You know, that's honestly, if you're the Spurs, you're in a better spot to make that decision than like if you're the Warriors. So like I think like that just solves it gives the Warriors another big, like it's actually very easy to see why the Warriors would do this. And I think from the Spurs side, like essentially the Warriors are just giving up a first round pick and a second in Wiseman. And you're kind of solidifying you're getting a third big who could really help a ton with your front court depth. I think that's kind of like their biggest area of need right now. So I think that's one, you know, something I would do. I have seen like reports that the Spurs aren't interested in Wiseman. And my suspicion is like the Warriors are trying to offer him straight up and that's just not going to get it done. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm as much as a Wiseman truther as there is, and yeah, it's just that doesn't make sense to do straight up. Okay, so just recapping, the Golden State Warriors would get Joakim Poeltl, the center from San Antonio, and then they would send out a first rounder, a second rounder, and then James Wiseman in return. So I think that one, like, that one makes sense. I think I can get behind that one.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My next trade is, this is my last one. The Cavs trade for Malik Beasley from the Utah Jazz. And in return, the Jazz get a few things. The Jazz get Isaac Okoro. They get Lamar Stevens. They get a fella named Dylan Windler and a second round pick. So the idea behind this trade is the Cavs get Malik Beasley, who's a very good shooter. He's not, I wouldn't say he's like a very good at anything else. He's not very good at defense, but he is a very good three-point shooter. And the Cavs need that. The Cavs don't have, I'm not going to say the Cavs don't have shooting because their star players can both shoot, but off-ball shooting, they have Dean Wade, they have Kevin Love, and then after that, they don't really have anything in the way of off-ball shooting. And like when we think about spacing, like you don't really get any spacing if the player with the ball in his hands is a three-point threat. Like I guess you get gravity from that, but not spacing in the same way that we think about it. So they probably need to add an off-ball shooter. And Malik Beasley, I think, makes a lot of sense because the Jazz are probably willing to make some trades here. He has one more year left on his deal after this one, so he's not a rental. And the idea behind what the Jazz get, Isaac Okoro is a good defensive player now. Not the greatest offensive player, doesn't really have a lot of skills there, but he's a very good athlete, and he is already a good defensive player. Like, he's not a project player. Like he plays now on the Cavs. He has positive defensive metrics. The only thing is he doesn't really generate a lot of turnovers, but just in terms of being able to guard other players, he's good at that. Lamar Stevens is an interesting guy. He's 6'6". He's a really good athlete. Is like a solid to maybe a solid to slight positive in impact metrics as a wing stopper, but kind of more of a toolsy project. I think he's like 25. And then Dylan Windler is just salary to make it all work. I don't know who that is. My apologies to Dylan. And then a second round pick, just a little bit of a little extra oomph in the trade. I'm not sure. Like I saw a report where it was like the Utah Jazz are hoping to get a first round pick for Vanderbilt and also a first round pick for Beasley. And I'm like, I don't think so. A lot of people are leaking out these reports for a lot of first round picks that aren't going to be moved for the players that have been reported. But I think this trade makes sense because just in the big picture, the Cavs get a 3-point shooter. The Jazz get a defender, and then they get another guy who, you know, you kick the tires to see what you get. You get a second round pick. So I think on the surface, I could understand it for both teams. What do you think?
Is it the Cavs' second round pick? They're getting back? Okay. So that's probably not going to be a great second round pick. But hey, you know, if they're combining this deal with the one I said earlier, they're getting the Hornets second. So you could look at that as like almost a late first and a second here for Vanderbilt and Beasley. So, you know, if they did both, and they're obviously getting a few different prospects. So I think it makes sense.
And if you're the Cavs, you could throw in a second round pick. That doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to say is I do think you probably want to add in a second round pick. The only thing I'm kind of curious about is like, so do you think Beasley, so are you closing with him, or are you just giving them a little more?
You're probably not like, closing with him because he's not a very good defender, okay. But he's playing. Like he's playing probably like 25 minutes. Like he's in the rotation, legit player, good shooter. One of the better shooters year, but I don't think he's closing though.
Okay. I think the only thing I would say is like, if I was the Cavs, I guess I might aim a little bigger just to add like, a potential guy you can close with. Maybe that's going to be Dean Wade.
Hell yeah, it's going to be Dean Wade.
Yeah, I certainly think it should be, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they feel about him, like, given his... Well, I guess the whole team doesn't have any playoff experience, so...
Except Kevin Love. Kevin Love's got that ring.
Yeah, it's true. I like the trade.
Because also, like, Isaac Okoro is a rotational player in the league. Like, he's not a fringe player. Like, he is a plus on defense. He's not an offensive player, and he's a minus there. But, like, Isaac Okoro would get minutes on a majority of teams in the league. Like, he'd play.
Oh yeah, I don't mind the Jazz return. I was just thinking, like, for the Cavs, I guess I'm just trying to think of, like, potentially down the line in the playoffs. Like, to me, they have, like, their top four players are kind of settled, right? You're going to close with Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, and Allen, right? And who's, like, that fifth
Dean
guy?
Dean Wade is a good 3D
and probably
player.
Is great. Yeah, I agree. I do think that.
I was actually just watching some Dean Wade defensive tape. Like, he is a good defensive player. People just don't know who he is.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. So, like, I guess if you're feeling confident that, you know, you're going to go with him, he has been a little bit worse this year, though. Like, I'm just kind of looking up his overall LeBron, and he's had a bit of a decline. He's down to minus 0.89 this year. So,
are we talking about
I don't know.
Yeah, but D LeBron is very good. And then offensively, like, he's really just there to shoot threes. Like, you don't need him to do anything else. And I'm not sure he has the skill set to do anything else. But that's a 3-and-D player, and that's valuable.
Yeah. I think the only thing I'm a little worried about, though, is because I would like a 3-and-D wing who can do, like, a little more on offense. Because I think with that double big with Mobley and Allen, like, that gives you an amazing defensive kind of ceiling, but it also hurts your offense, like having like two bigs, right? And obviously you have two guards who that, you know, you're almost like, okay, well, you'd hope to almost cancel out the like having the two bigs part. But I just do think that like it would, like, to me, it's going to feel like they're going to need a little bit more on offense.
I mean, also, Caris LeVert is still on the roster. He hasn't been, he's not in this trade. And then also, they got Ricky Rubio back for some creation, who can, like, play alongside those bigs and, like, help amplify their finishing abilities.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the final piece, like, the final starter, essentially. Like, not saying, like, I think those guys are decent rotation pieces, although I'm not a big LeVert guy. Frankly, so that's the thing. I would honestly trade LeVert maybe to try to shoot your shot a little higher for like maybe a Crowder or something like that.
I mean, the problem is with the Cavs, the way their closing roster is going to work, they have two small point guards, right? Where you can't play another guard because you have two guys that are like 6'1", 6'2". I don't know how tall Garland is. So like you can't play another. It'd be very difficult to play another guard that was like 6'2", because you still have the size inside, but you just have difficulty guarding the wings. So the problem is the player that you're going to have to close with is going to need to be like, oh, forward with legit size. So it's going to be Dean. I just don't understand how Dean Wade wouldn't be in the closing lineup because he fits in perfectly with if you could trade for Dean Wade, every team would. They're just not available. And I understand what you're saying of you want another person to create. But, like, again, you have Caris LeVert, you have Rubio, and, again, they're probably not going to be in the closing lineup. But in the second and the third quarter, like, they are going to offer you extra offensive punch.
Yeah, I'm thinking just more a little in terms of because you're playing two bigs, I think having a third guy who gives you a little more offensive, especially because, like, Mobley and you're essentially playing with two bigs who can't shoot. Like, Mobley can't really shoot, right? So it's going to get like the spacing's going to get a little cramped. And obviously Dean Wade can shoot.
But I mean, like there's going to be periods of time where Kevin Love's going to play in short spurts where like that's really that's his main skill set is he's one of the best spacing, you know, four-ish players in the league.
So for the Cavs, like I was thinking of like, I don't know if they could get somebody like this. And I'm going to use this opportunity to kind of lean into my next pair of big trades. I was thinking like somebody like OG. But I don't know if the Cavs have enough to get him.
They don't because they traded all their first round picks for.
Yeah, because they traded all their first round picks. But like somebody like that would obviously be like the ideal guy next to like both their two bigs and their two guards. Like that's the type of guy or a Mikal Bridges type, right? But like
you have Dean Wade.
I don't know how they would get somebody like that. Okay, so I'm gonna move on to my next trade because that does involve OG. And So I have a next, I have a pair of trades here now. And essentially my pair of trades are like finishing up the Pelicans.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, before you move on, I just want to recap that trade for anyone that, you know, maybe didn't get all the details. So the idea is the Cavs get Malik Beasley, the Jazz get Okoro, Lamar Stevens for salary, someone named Dylan Windler, and then we'll say 2 second round picks. But okay, now move on with your trade.
Okay. So actually, so I have a pair of trades here that are going to kind of fix up the Pelicans. And then we're going to wrap up with, you said you didn't have any more trades, right?
I'm done.
Okay, so I want to wrap up with a trade I saw proposed on another podcast that I thought was really fascinating and also involves
You can OG. Shout the podcast out if we're going to just like talk about their trade.
So it was on the Dunked On pod that they mentioned it, this trade. But I'll get to that after. So the two trades I have here were the Pelicans. So one of them is OG for Valanciunas.
Wait, hold on. You're trying to put another wing defender on the Pelicans?
Yes.
Okay.
I am. Because I think, yeah, isn't that weird? I do think because, like, so Herb's awesome, but he's, like, his shooting's kind of lacking, right?
He's a defensive specialist. And,
yeah, he's a defensive specialist. And I think if you're in terms of looking for, like, a guy you want, like, starting and closing games, OG probably helps a bit more there, wouldn't you say, than somebody like Herb,
yeah,
right?
He's better at offense.
Although interestingly, Herb has actually been a much better defender this year, according to our defensive LeBron and D LeBron. Although there's some other impact metrics that like OG way more. And that's kind of an almost entirely separate debate where we could debate OG's defense and how valuable his versatility and being able to guard the best guys are. But we'll save that for another pod. So my trade here was OG for Valanciunas, a 2027 first rounder from Milwaukee, the Pelicans 2023 first rounder, and 2 second round picks from the Pelicans. So essentially what it is they're getting Valanciunas back, and they do need a center, and they're getting 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks. And that 2027 Milwaukee first, I know you would think, okay, like right away you might be like, okay, that seems like a bad first-round
pick. That's so far in the future, though.
It's so far in the future, and I think, like, Giannis might not
be on the Bucks.
Like, his contract. Yeah, exactly. Like, his contract is up before that. Now, I'm not saying he's going to leave. But, like, I hope all the Bucks fans aren't suggesting don't get mad at us. We're not saying he's going to leave. We're just saying his contract is up before
that. No. Get mad. Bother Krishna on Twitter. But also, Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton might not be in the league then. That's so far.
Yeah, it's like so far. Exactly. That's the whole point. It's so far out that I think it's going to have some value. And especially because the Bucks right now are in fully in contender mode, and they have like no young players on their team outside of Marjan.
So to recap the trade, the Pelicans get OG Anunoby, and the Raptors get 2 first-round picks, one of them being a Bucks pick way in the future, 2027, and 2 second-round picks.
Yep, and they also get Jonas.
Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas. Yeah.
Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas.
Hold on. We're not to that trade yet. Oh, I need my instant reaction here. If I'm the Raptors, I'm getting 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and like a center that is like a legit rotation player. I think I'm doing that, and then I'm also like that's going to start because the easiest player to trade on their team is going to be Fred because he's the best player they're probably going to trade because I haven't heard them talk about trading Siakam. So I think trading OG first would probably make a lot of sense. And then getting 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and a player back, a center that can play in your rotation now is pretty darn good. So I would make that trade if I was the if I'm the Raptors, I make that trade. If I'm the Pelicans, do I make that trade?
So that's an interesting. So that's why I have a second trade that the Pelicans would want to probably also make. And it would kind of address losing their starting center. I'm glad you're saying the Raptors would do that because I do think that's a pretty fair trade. They get 2 first-round picks, they get 2 seconds, and they get
but a starting. The problem, center. I like, guess, with that is the Pelicans then don't have a. Do they have a center on their roster?
Ah, well, so now that you've asked, I'm going to tell you my second trade. So my second trade is the Pelicans get Miles Turner.
No, whoa. He just signed that extension. He said he was staying put. I thought he'd been on the trade block for 3 years. We finally took him off.
Is he? Yeah, I mean, well, have the Pacers said they're definitely taking him off?
Know.
Or do they just want to be like you sign him an extension because he's really good and you could potentially get like some value back for him, right? And I don't think the Pacers would say no to this trade. Now I have a bunch of other players in this trade that I think it was just to kind of make the salaries work, but also because like I didn't want to do a 4-for-1 trade for the Pelicans and they don't have enough roster spots. So there's a bunch of other kind of weird players in here. We have so the Pelicans also get James Johnson, TJ McConnell, and O'Shea Brissett. The Pacers get Devontae Graham, Jaxson Hayes, Kyra Lewis, and the kind of the centerpiece of the deal, Herb Jones. And then they also get 2 firsts. So if I'm the Pacers, getting so to me, Kyra
Wait,
is
hold
kind
on,
of
hold
a,
on. We gotta lay this out again because it's not clear in my head. Recap it okay. One more time, but list the most valuable assets first.
Okay, I'm gonna list. Okay, so the most valuable asset the Pelicans are getting back.
Okay, and then what else is coming with them?
Yeah, so they're also getting TJ
2 first-round picks
because no, they're not getting any.
Picks. Oh, sorry, the
they're
picks
also
are on the
getting.
Yeah,
and they're also getting James Johnson and O'Shea Brissett. The last two are more kind of in there. Just
okay,
to,
but
like,
TJ McConnell is in there.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's possible we could do this deal without TJ McConnell and Devontae Graham switching okay. spots. I think you probably could, but I had Devontae Graham also going to the Pacers. I don't know why. Yeah, I think you could probably just take both of them out if you wanted to make it less complicated. I'd have to redo the trade though. So the other guys going towards the Pacers would be Jaxson Hayes, Kyra Lewis, Herb Jones, and 2 first-round picks.
So the weight of the trade is Herb Jones and 2 first-round picks for Miles Turner.
Yeah, and essentially the Pacers are also getting a look at Lewis, who is like a young player, was drafted a few years ago. As I mentioned earlier, it's kind of like getting Springer, just kind of a young player that you just get a look at. And now, of course, if the Pacers are doing this trade, they're pretty clearly telling everyone that they're not intending to chase the play-in this year, which at this point, given the Haliburton injury, I think they can kind of I don't think they have to be chasing the play-in anymore. Let's just say that, right? They also get Jaxson Hayes, who's not like who's also kind of youngish. So they get a lot of.
No, I thought you were chasing someone else.
Yeah. So they get a few decent like younger players, and then, but obviously the main part of the deal, they get Herb Jones and 2 first-round picks, and so now the Pelicans become. They're, you know, between
so they would
both,
make both of those trades. Between the trades.
Yes, they would make both of those trades. And between both of them, they end up with CJ, Ingram, OG, Zion, and
that's
Turner.
A pretty interesting closing five.
Yeah, isn't that? And they still have Trey Murphy on
so
the
they're
bench.
Trading 4 first-round picks away in total?
Yes. But the Pelicans might be the most stocked team in the league. Right. Oh, and so the two firsts they're trading a 2025 Milwaukee first, which not bad. And they're trading the 2024 Lakers first. Is that a big swap or is that an outright first? It looks like it's an outright first.
I don't know.
If not, they could just sub in one of their own firsts.
They have the Lakers pick this year, I know that.
Yeah, they also have the Lakers pick this year. I did not include that because I honestly think that's like, I don't think the Pelicans would include that for Turner.
I don't know. It could be a pretty valuable pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have a shot at Wemby, possibly. So I don't know.
All right. Well, that was our trade proposals as the trade deadline approaches.
I do have one final one for you. And this was the one I mentioned to you earlier, where it was another one involving OG that I had heard on a different podcast, on the Dunked On podcast. They had mentioned OG and Trent for Maxey and Tobias. And I thought that was really interesting. And I was just kind of curious about your thoughts.
OG and Trent for Maxey and Tobias. That is an interesting trade.
Isn't that? Yeah. It really says a lot, I feel like, about how you might value all the different players, because it's a real.
I thought you were going to say one of the players specifically, because I think that trade hinges on what you think of Maxey more than anyone else.
That's basically it. It really depends on what you think of Maxey.
That's a tough one. The weird thing about all the OG trade rumors is he has two more years on his deal after this at $17 million, which is like a fine contract. It's weird because normally like players with that much time left on their contract aren't being like shopped everywhere.
Yeah. And the other thing that's the OG piece of this deal is like, it also comes down to what you think of his value as well, because like, I think like OG's value is really fascinating to me. Cause like, if you look at his impact metrics and so EPM loves him, but like, our LeBron impact metric is kind of more it's kind of like more like he's okay, but like he's not like I think he was
like LeBron has him as a good wing defender, not the best wing defender in the league by like a margin,
right? And it thinks, and like his now I think our like on-ball defense metric really loves him, and he's guarding the toughest matchups. But at the same time, I don't know, like if you look at his overall D LeBron, it's not among like the leaders in the
league
or anything
good,
like that.
Elite.
So, yeah. So he's got a 0.56 D LeBron this year. Last year's 0.42. So that's good, but it's just not.
You know, Dean Wade has a higher D LeBron. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Yeah. So, I think so that, but anyways, yeah. So what are your thoughts? Like that really does come down to how you value Maxey.
I mean, what it really comes down to is how you value Maxey and what Toronto's plan is moving forward with their team, because it's unclear. But then all of a sudden, you know what? I think I probably make that trade because you still have Fred and you still have Siakam, and then you have Scottie Barnes and you have Tyrese Maxey. And I think that's a really interesting blend of players. And yeah, I probably make that trade if I'm both teams. And
So you make it for Philly
as well. Yeah, I think it makes sense because you get a wing stopper and then you also get an additional 3-point shooter. And just like a little bit more. How would I phrase this?
The tricky part about this trade is like, I think to me, it's kind of giving up. Like right now, that trade makes the Sixers better, but what are you giving up in Maxey? Like, are you giving up a potential future All-Star?
Potentially.
And if that's the case, if I'm thinking about like 3 or 4 years down the line, am I? You know, if OG, I don't think OG is going to get that much better, right?
But like the problem kind of is if Maxey becomes an All-Star in 3 years, I'm not sure if it matters because James Harden, like, either isn't going to be in the league anymore because he's going to be like 36 or 37 or something, or he's going to be like so old. I don't know if it matters.
Oh, yeah. And he might not even be on the Sixers, honestly. So I totally agree. Improving their team this year and for like going for it, this might make more sense. Although I will ask you this, how much of a potential scoring hit do you think you take here by trading Maxey for Trent and OG? Because I do think Maxey is like he is a pretty good bucket getter, right? Like, and like we saw him average 20 points per game in the playoffs last year on like pretty, I think it was like on 60%.
Yeah, I guess the thing I'm thinking about is if you're Philly, you have basically three players that can create and nobody else, and you lose one of your creation players. That seems kind of risky. I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I would do it as Philly, but I would do it as Toronto. I know that.
Okay. I think the Philly side is really much more interesting in that. Like, I think I probably would do it if I was Toronto too, because like, if I'm Toronto, I'm going nowhere right now. And like, at least, nowhere this season. I shouldn't say like right now, because like, I do think Toronto could be one of those teams that like easily just gets back to where they want to go next year, because they definitely have the talent. But at least for this year, they're going nowhere, right? And I think at this point, they want to start to look at Wemby, right? So I think the thing is, it helps Toronto get some younger. Also, because Maxey always seems to kill them in games against them. They don't have to play him anymore. That's not actually part of why I do the trade. I'm just pointing it out.
I don't think I would do this trade if I was the Sixers. Because you're losing too much creation. Okay. And then it falls so heavily on Embiid and Harden. And then all of a sudden, Harden has a little like lingering hammy in the playoffs. Embiid gets in foul trouble. And all of a sudden, you have like four defensive specialists standing on the court together.
Yeah, it puts a lot of pressure on Harden as a creator, and as it, so I think it puts even more pressure on him as a scorer too, which like honestly, like so as a overall playmaker and creator, like I don't think you're going to worry as much about Harden, but like in terms of his scoring, like definitely this year, I would be more worried about that part where it's like maybe a little more inconsistent.
Okay, so lastly, what trade of all the trades we discussed would you think is the makes the most sense for both teams?
Oh, that's
because I think that's sometimes the most, because I see a lot of proposed trades online, and a lot of the times it's like I would absolutely do that for one of the teams, and I would never ever do it if I was the other team. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what's the point of this trade proposal? Because I'm the most interested, because I think that the hardest thing to do is make trades that make the most sense for both teams. Like, this is just honestly why we don't see a lot of trades.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And like, when coming up with my trade proposals, I tried to come up with like trades that both teams would want to do. But, like, obviously, like the OG and the Turner trades that I did for the Pelicans were like thinking about a little more from the Pelicans side, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to get both OG and Turner on the Pelicans, right? So, but I do think I did a good job of balancing out what like the Raptors would want on their end and what the Pacers would get. So, I mean, what if I just, can I cheat and say all my trades were fair?
No, you're welcome to say whatever you want.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You know what? It's because of course I think all my trades are fair. And of course you think all of your trades are fair. So which do you think?
You don't think I'm fleecing one of these teams in an imaginary situation?
I think we did come to like the Cleveland trade. I think we did both agree they would add in a second rounder, sense. Right? And what was the other one? The first one you mentioned? Oh, Caruso for Bones. Yeah, I think that was the one where I proposed adding in a first and then adding in Drummond.
See, but if I'm Denver, there's no way I'm giving a first round pick to get Drummond in a trade.
No, so it's not.
I understand, but like,
just
no way. No. So you're saying you wouldn't do it if you were Denver? You wouldn't trade Bones for Alex Caruso?
No. Oh no, I would do that.
See, then what? But that doesn't make sense. Sweetening that trade for Denver doesn't make sense to me, because it's like we get rid of a backup center that doesn't really provide any value for like another backup center that's like a little bit better, and then we have to give up a first round pick for that. Like, that improvement doesn't make sense to me.
So the whole reason I added in the first was because I wasn't sure if I would do it for if I was Chicago. So the first entices them a bit more, and then the backup center swap is more just so like because honestly I don't think Chicago would care about DeAndre versus Drummond, and Denver would be kind of more interested in that. But but kind of the first round pick I added in there because I wasn't quite sure if the Bulls would do Bones for Caruso. But you know what?
I was leaning the other way that it might not happen.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Like, because you know what? Bones is. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say I'm wrong. I think Chicago would do it because, like, well, so the biggest issue I think I'm having is, like, what, like, is Chicago then deciding to go towards a rebuild? I mean,
here's the thing with this trade, because no draft capital is being moved. You don't really even have to. You could just be like, as the Bulls, we just need more offense. Whether that's right or wrong, you could just make that argument, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like if I'm getting Bones, then I'm starting to think about my future a bit more, which is like, I mean, if I'm being honest, I just, the Bulls should blow it up. Like, they should just, you know, I don't know. Well, I say that, and like, it seems like what the Bulls' goal has been in the last few years is just to make the playoffs, which is fine. Like, they had a long playoff drought, I think so, like, for them, it's just about make the playoffs, and like, if that's their goal, they might have the team, if Lonzo was healthy, to be able to get in as like a 6 seed or something, 6-7. Part of the issue the Bulls, it feels like the Bulls have run into, is the East has gotten like deeper and tougher, which is why it actually might make more sense now in the East to be bad and be chasing, like, you know, chasing a higher pick. But I don't have any like problem with like the Bulls trying to chase the playoffs. So like, in that sense, if that's what they're trying to do, then I don't really see why this trade makes sense for them. Like, this trade seems like to make more sense if they're thinking about like, okay, I want to get like Bones. I want to look at what he's going to look like in like 3 or 4 years or something like that. And like start a rebuild. I don't know. Do you think I'm off there?
No, I think the idea makes sense. You could also think like, you know, DeRozan only has one more year on his deal. You know, you do have to score points. Bones could be his replacement. Yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of different ways you go with this. But I'm just saying trading for Bones doesn't automatically trigger a rebuild.
No, it doesn't automatically trigger a rebuild, but it's more like the mentality. Like, if you're trading for Bones,
I don't know, if you're a Hooper out there, you're like, we're getting Bones? This guy is like the most Hooper version of a player there is.
You're a Hooper. Getting buckets. All right.
We've talked about trade proposals long enough. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. My name is Taylor. That's Krishna. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Index Podcast.